Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
This here to you, Pat and Christy. They've gone on a missions trip to Colombia, and when Pat got back, I was talking to him. I said, you know, we said this is a year of the Holy Spirit and practical teaching. I said, I'd really like for you to share with the folks, because some of you may not realize what it is to even go on a missions trip or what's even out there, you know. And so I said, there's a practical side of that, but I also know that God did a lot of healings through you while you were there. And if ever there's a year that the flu season's been the worst and we need to have a healing service, it's this year. Amen. So he said, well, maybe a Friday night. I said, no, let's do a communion Sunday morning. You know, both services. And so you're going to see some amazing things that God did. They're going to show you some stats of all the salvations, things that happened with the team they're on, and tell you about that, and then some individual stories. But I hope what you see and hear in this is what God can do when we just step out and take a risk. You're going to hear just how they're normal folks from Elko like us. Matter of fact, I think Christy said she'd never even been to a bigger town or whatever, and it's just amazing what God did. And he can do that through you too. So I'm going to turn it over to them. If you have to leave by noon, feel free. But we're just going to let the Lord do what he wants to do here this morning. Amen.
Hi, my name is Christy Allen. This is Pat Hay. And we've been coming to this church about, I think, 4 months now. And I just wanted to say thank you because I felt welcome here. I felt like I could fit in here and belong here. And it's just been huge for both of us. I've been friends with Pat now for a year and a half. And when I first met Pat, he had planned a mission trip. That's how we met, circumstance. So he went to Brazil in 2016 with Global Awakening. And then in 2017, he went to Europe, the UK, and
Denmark.
And anyway, because of my friendship with him and the connection, and praying into those mission trips, I got to hear the testimonies, and I got to hear what God was doing, and it just sparked an interest in me. And this last summer, Pat suggested that we take a look at this Columbia mission trip, and we prayed about it, and he signed up, I signed up, and then he found another team going in the week before, and he said, you should think about this one too. I'm already signed up. Thank you. So we signed up for that one, and then we went on that mission trip into Colombia in the end of January and in February. And you know, one of the things I have to say, I've never done this before. I've never been outside the country like this before, so this is all new to me. But you know, I just want to bring to you guys that you can do this too. If you want to see God move, God is moving on a global scale. He's doing amazing miracles. He's bringing revival to different areas. Brazil right now is in a huge revival. Colombia is coming into it. It's amazing what God's doing out there. And if you wanted to go see God do amazing things, you can do this too.
Spring Creek is coming into revival.
Amen.
I want you to know that. That's
yeah.
true. I'd like to thank the people who prayed for us while we were gone on that trip. I want you to know, Darcy, I know, is one of them that prayed for us and gave us words. It was felt. I know for a fact that I was covered by people in this church and people in the community because of the things that I didn't feel while on that trip. I never felt apprehensive. I never felt concerned. I don't believe I was under any spiritual attack while I was there. That's significant, people. And I know that it came from this church body and other people around. So understand that that's, you know, that was heartfelt. Also, if you walked into this building with any pain in your body, I want you to have clear expectations to leave it here when you leave. It doesn't leave with you. It goes now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Just have that expectation that you will be healed before you leave this service today.
Amen. Yeah. So we went with Gary Oates Ministry into Barranquilla and the first week, and then we got on a plane and headed to Medellin on the second week and partnered with Global Awakening. The thing about this is, Pat, he he actually stirred this ministry. We ended up with 13 people on the Gary Oates ministry trip going on to the second week with Global Awakening, and that they haven't heard that before. So, Pat, you did good. But you might want to say, you know, what was the purpose of our mission trip? Our mission trip was based on Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8 and 28, 20, where Jesus said, he told his followers, the kingdom of heaven is near. Go heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've been given, freely you give. And then before he went to heaven, he said, you know, teach the people what I've commanded you. That's the basis of our mission trip. We went to go change the world, have God change the world and touch people.
That word? What's that word? Yeah, that's you. Yeah. Know when you read that, but that's you. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, so, you know, I just want to point out on this slide, this is our ministry trip, our team, the first week. You're not alone if you decide to do this. You've got some really talented, experienced, blessed, anointed people in the team that we all ministered to each other. And it was amazing. I never felt isolated or alone. I always felt supported and ministered to. So keep that in mind when you want to take a taste.
Okay, we saw over 450 salvations, people coming to Christ on the first 7 days.
Yeah.
That's the first 7 days.
Yeah. yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Here.
Amazing.
Yay, Jesus.
Amazing.
Yay, Jesus.
We saw a lot of healings, shoulders, knees, you name it. We saw blind eyes open. These include cataracts, not just blind, but, you know, someone that's totally blind, but someone that's got cataracts or occluded vision. Deaf, we saw deaf people, ears open, the lame walk. We saw a lot of tumors disappear. We'll talk a little more about that later. Baptisms of the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. That was an amazing week. It was fun. People in Columbia have an expectation of being healed. So oftentimes when you pray for them, it's pain leave, the name of Jesus, all harassing spirits leave, how you doing? And they're healed. It's that quick and that easy. It's just fun to be around.
Yeah, set your world on fire. God's real. Yay, Lord. The first day we got there, we unloaded and went to the hotel, but then the next day the bus comes, and as a team we all get on this bus, and it was quite an adventure just getting to this ladies' prison. I've never been outside the country, and it's such a dense population. It was just, wow, this is interesting. And then you get off the bus and you walk up to this prison, you got bars everywhere, and you got soldiers with guns, and you got dogs, and they separate the men and the women, and they line the men up, and they all have to stand against the wall and get frisked.
We got frisked. They didn't.
No. And then you go through the iron gates, the iron door, and you go on the inside. And this was a ladies' reform. It was a reform mission prison to help these ladies start to live a different life. And so they didn't have bars on their doors on the inside. And there was a courtyard. And we walked into there. And we have some people on our team with tremendous testimonies of where they were and where God brought them and how he gave them hope and gave them identity. And so several of those people stepped up, gave their testimonies, and that was to give the ladies hope. They had no hope. They've been told how terrible they are. They've been locked up. They've been taking their freedom away. And so all our team members came, and they started to tell them their identity in Christ, and they started to tell them that there is hope. Look what God did to me. And I was really moved when a man took it a step further, and a man stood up and said, "I'm your father. I'm going to talk and be your husband, and I'm going to apologize to you." And he proceeded to very detailed apologize to these women for the things that were done to them by their fathers and by their husbands, and it just broke me. I've never heard that. It's called the Father's Blessing. It's a huge ministry tool, and I got rocked. It was amazing. And that was an amazing day. Yeah.
We'll talk a little more about this later, but Andy served about 19 years in a prison in New York for drug running between Miami and New York. And we were able to minister alongside of ministers that have some wonderful testimony. This man spent 18 hours a day in the Bible in prison, and there was a point where every word on every page said repent. And he repented, and then every word on every page said forgiveness, and he forgave, and he came to the Lord, and a vision of the Lord at the same time. And
yeah.
What wonderful stuff. Neat stuff.
This is Gary Oates right there, and that's Andy. Gary Oates was the one on the mission, the ministry. And then at night we went to a church, and these are the people that came forward for salvation. And then after the salvation call, they'd ask the ministry team to come up, and we'd have lines of people coming to us, and we'd pray for them until there wasn't a line anymore, until, you know, God touched them.
Okay. we have a... Oops. Trying to use this
point that way. Oh, sorry.
This is a place where we ministered to ministers and their wives. And the community that we were in, some of them had never seen white people physically in the flesh. And so it was a very destitute place. As we ministered, Gary Oates had already heard what was going on in the community. And pastors were trying to get people to come to my church, and you come to my church, and I'm better than this guy, and so on and so forth. A lot of disunity among these people. Probably 125 people in a house about this size right here, all cramped together. And we ministered in silence. Gary led them to a point where they just asked God to come. And pretty soon you would hear weeping. And the wives started first, and then the men were weeping. And we laid hands on them silently and for about 20 minutes, and then we got on our way. But I really believe that prophetically this affected generations to come in that place.
It was powerful.
This is a place where we ministered outdoor. There's this a cage around a soccer field. We weren't allowed outside that cage because it wasn't safe. There was, I don't know, several hundred people here.
Yeah. But it was in an area called the 7th of April, and a woman pastor, felt led to go there, and she was told, don't go, it's dangerous. It's a very dangerous area. We were told not to leave because it's so dangerous. But it filled up with people. The community came. And it was a powerful move of God. If you see this area right here, this is in front of the stage. And as you notice in the next slide, look what happened when he did the altar call.
That's 200 people coming to Christ right there.
Yeah. And, you know, he was really specific with all his altar calls. He says, you know, giving your life to Christ is a one-time deal. You don't need to continue to give your life to Christ over and over again. And he said that on every altar call. So this is genuine. It was powerful. And then they lined up the ministry team in front of them. And that was the first day we were there. And then you had lines of people coming to get prayed for. And, you know, one of the things that happened to me on that particular day is I was towards the back of this when it started. And as it was getting time for them to call us up, I started walking up, and as I started walking up, I was just laying my hands on people and just blessing them. And I had a lady come into my line, and she started telling me that when I touched her, that she saw bright light, and she had a major God encounter. And so she came to my line and said, you have to pray for me. You have to pray for me because this happened. So, you know, I just give that because you don't know what God's going to do through you. And when you reach out to people and you touch people that feel they're untouchable, you know, God moves. He's amazing.
We prayed for this guy's tail to grow back, and we believe that within the next month it'll probably grow back.
Yeah.
This is an assisted living area.
Yeah.
We were promised that we could minister in an air-conditioned government building. And true to the word, it was air-conditioned and it was a government building. Assisted living for the elderly. This was a treat for the minister to to be here and pray for these people. It was a wonderful, wonderful time and blessing for us as well.
Yeah, a lot of eyes healed. You personally, God used you to touch, what, five people and their eyes?
Yeah, we had a minister that, her name was Florence. She laid hands on a guy and his ear popped open. He could hear. And she asked me to come over. Why, I really don't know, but she asked me to come over and I laid hands on his eyes and he could see. He had cataracts. And no one speaks English there to speak of, but there was other people that saw that, and they all, you know, come here. And the next five people I prayed for, boom, 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 their eyes opened. They're, you know, cataracts. And it's just amazing. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, eyes open, boom, I can see. You know, it's anyway.
Yeah, powerful. Yeah, we did street ministry. After that, we went to a park. And, you know, dense population of people everywhere. So there's a lot of people at the park. And this man right there in the white, he was one that was at the park that we ministered to. He had back pain, and Pat was on my group there. We all had split off, and we were ministering to him. And he was experiencing a little bit. I didn't know we invited him to church. And there he is, giving his life to Christ. That was huge. That was really cool.
Yeah, we pray for people and that's fun, but that right there, that's what we're looking for, is a guy coming to Christ.
Because God's real. God's real.
The miracle saw in the park.
Yeah.
Orphanage, if you want to slip to the next slide.
Sure.
This is there's like 400 kids that go to this place, and there's five or six teachers. To tell you what size this is, and it's attached to a church. Go ahead and slip through another slide if you want to.
Okay.
I've got this one in here just because you probably wouldn't put your livestock in there, but that's the roof over these kids' head where they come every day.
Right. Yeah, that was the roof on this facility right here. And our day, that day, we were ministering to the children and the teachers. So there's our team with the kids and in a class. And the thing that you need to visualize is the entrance is right here, and you come along here and then it turns and goes this way. And right over here off the screen is this building that this church has been building for 12 years. And that building is right there, and it's huge. It's absolutely massive, and it was breathtaking to walk into.
You walk into it, and you feel the presence of God. There is absolutely no doubt that God ordained this to be built. And right now they're contending for it. It's taken them 12 years.
Yeah.
But you feel God in that place.
Yeah. Right now they're working on their sound system, air conditioning, fixing to test their air conditioning units. So, but we ministered again, you know, it wasn't so much testimony. There was a little testimony, but it was really telling the kids their identity. Who are you in Christ? Releasing their identity, letting them know that who they are, who Jesus is, who their Heavenly Father is, and that He's faithful and He has plans and purposes for these kids in these low-income areas, that they aren't limited by their area, they aren't limited by their culture, that they have a God who cares about them and purposes them. And that's how we minister to the kids. We release their identity. And we did a... I don't know if you guys ever heard fire tunnels. Anyway, we did fire tunnels. I love fire tunnels. Oh, they're so cool. But basically your ministry team leaders get in line and then you walk through it, and they're just blessing you and partying on you, giving you Holy Spirit, just rocking your world, and you just go through and get touched by everybody. And the school did a demonstration. You know, one of the things I thought was kind of cool is they like our American Christian worship songs, and they've adopted a lot of them. And that this particular recital was with one of those our songs, our modern songs, and they translated it, and they were really cute. Oh, pray. Anyway. Oh yeah. So that one was to that song. It was precious. Just precious. you kind of get a feel for how big that building is. You know, on the outside, this building, you can't tell this building's there. You have no idea what's in this building on the outside because the neighborhood is so rugged and so poor, and yet they've done this. This is a miracle, and it's a mighty move of God in this community. Yeah, and then we went back the next day. We ministered to parents and teachers, and the community was invited in. And it was kind of a cool day. This lady right here, she's from
Denmark.
They were playing music, really bebop Colombian music, and she started moving around, and we all started moving around. Well, we ended up just having a party, and everybody was dancing, and we pulled the community in, and it just got real. It got really real.
Yeah, we danced with the mothers of the children there. And what was neat is just like the prison ministries, they got to see that we were normal, that we weren't just a bunch of stuffed shirts or something. And it just, there was breakthrough because of that dance, because of the community feel of that.
Yeah, just this lady right here, we have her testimony towards the end, but just keep her in mind. And this is the actual church body meeting right now. They have three services on Sunday, and they're the ones that are building that big building. And so we did three church services in the morning on Sunday. And I like this picture. I think I have it. The next slide. Yep.
This is where Gary Oates asked people if they had pain when they came in the building. And if your pain is gone, would you wave your hand? And these are the people that stood up and waved their hand, that their pain left when they walked in the building. So as we were ministering, pain left their body.
Yeah, God showed up. Yay!
Yeah.
And his angels. Yay! It is exciting. You know what? The God is the same God in Colombia as he is here.
Okay.
Yeah. That was just powerful. And so, and he did an altar call every meeting. So this is just people that came forth and gave their lives to Christ in the three meetings. And then they would call the ministry team up and we would minister.
Gary Oates, you saw more salvations, but in global, you're more apt to minister inside a church where people are already saved. So you don't see as many altar calls on the second week, or if you're with global, is what you did with Gary Oates. We still saw a lot of physical healings. We saw here two blind eyes open. On the Gary Oates trip, the stats included anybody that had any cataracts or anything like that, where this is someone who walked in and was blind. It represents two people, actually. A person was healed of blindness in... or two people was healed of blindness in one eye. So then we saw tumors leave. Saw a lot of lame, but tumors would include cancer leaving as well. Anything that's foreign to the body like that. We saw metal miracles. This is really fun because people will have metal implanted in their body and they can't move because of that metal. It's provable that it went in their body. So a doctor can't say that it wasn't there. So it's not spontaneous remission or anything like that. God healed them. And what happens is you pray for them. Sometimes the metal disappears. Sometimes it bleeds out in their sheets. If it's titanium, it might be purple in their sheets over the next few days or whatever. Sometimes it doesn't leave. It can be x-rayed and it's still there, but it's totally limber. It moves. And you can't deny that as a miracle. And we've seen them. It was cool.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. This building, this really is outside. This is kind of a court-covered courtyard. And that's where on this week we partnered with an outreach program called Vina Fresca. And they were a mission outreach to this particular community. This community was so bad. So many bad things have happened there that they're going to tear all these buildings down. And so they picked the worst neighborhood in Medellin to start to do an outreach to this community and minister to the children. And they've just got tons of testimonies of what God's done and how he's moving. And While we were there, they actually bought another place. They're going to have a mission base to start training missionaries. And it was just a...
Who's interested in a mission, that's one to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hoot.
Yeah, you get to really see God move. Anyway, yeah.
This is street ministry where they were feeding the poor. And then up above here is where this place is. And we did plays. We did healing where we would ask somebody if they had pain in their body and have them stand up. We'd pray for them corporately. In other words, we didn't lay hands on them. And then when they were healed, we would get them to come up front and lay hands on somebody else to show them that you can do this.
Yeah.
You believe in Christ. Christ is in you. You can do this. That word you, that means you.
Yep.
It does. It does.
Amen.
So this is a prison ministry team. And again, if you ever go to a prison to minister and you don't know what to say, speak to their identity. There was about 30 people in the Christians in the chapel that we ministered to. 15 of them got healed of something in their body, including a guy that had just gotten surgery. His pain level was at a 10, and it went down to a 0 while we prayed for him. People got slain in the spirit. It was awesome. It was a cool time. But just speaking to their identity in Christ and who they are, people were weeping and crying. And, you know, God was just breaking their heart right there. And it was awesome to be a part of.
Yeah, hope, releasing hope. One of the things that I appreciate, the lady, there's a lady who has a prison ministry. And this is a maximum security prison. This is where the guys are. These are where the bad guys are. And this lady ministers there. And she was telling us about how Pablo Escobar. his top hitman became a believer. She outreached to his family when, you know, he wasn't being nice and it broke his heart. Anyway, so he became a pastor in prison. This guy who's killed thousands of people, you know, came to Christ in prison. And then more people and more of the people that were part of his gang and had killed people became pastors. And so what happened in the Colombian prison system is it used to be notorious for how bad it was. And as God started to move among them and they came to Christ, they would get transferred to other prisons. So the move of God got pushed around in all the prisons in Colombia. Now Colombia's prison system's radically changed. Yeah, and lots of people come to Christ in prison.
The guy that she's talking about was recruited when he was 13 years old to be an assassin for Pablo Escobar. And he spent some years in prison in Colombia and then started a church later. And now the people who used to kill people with him are now ministers in those churches. Yeah.
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 It was awesome. So all I got to say is when you guys go on your mission trips, don't pass any opportunities up. If they ask for volunteers, volunteer. You don't want to miss. I missed that because I didn't volunteer. These are pictures of an outreach. We split up in teams, and my team that I was on and Pat was on my team, we were asked to go to and do an outreach. This was about 20 minutes from Medellin, and it was hard ground. We had a pastor that was trying to plant a church there, and he's not getting breakthrough. So the team went to try, you know, just bring God, bring miracles, show the community God's real. And it was hard ground. They thought we were Jehovah's Witnesses as we walked through the community. We're going to pray for people, and they didn't. It was hard. So, but we got breakthrough when we ended up at the town square, and that's what this is. And they really do drive around it. There's shops around here and everything. There's people everywhere in Columbia. It's heavily populated. It's not like here. Anyway, it's kind of cool. These churches, they're always open. Their doors are always open. No matter what's going on, you can always go in. But we got breakthrough when we hit the town square. And the way we got breakthrough is there was a lady that smiled. And that's all it took. We just walked right up to her, started talking to her. She let us pray for her, and then another person let us pray for them, and another person. So the community started to see what God was doing, and that's when we started getting breakthrough. And we learned on that one again.
That was a good learning experience. The whole trip was. It stretched me in places that I hadn't, you know, ministered before, in ways that I hadn't ministered before, and it was really a good experience.
Yeah.
This this church here, really small, probably 11 or 12 people in it. And this lady had a tumor about like that, small of her back. And as I prayed for her, it disappeared. And the healing is a gift that you get from God. And then there's some skill involved with it too. And one of the things that you pray for, if you ever have the opportunity, and I hope you will, to pray for somebody that's got a tumor or cancer in their body, curse it the same as Jesus cursed the fig tree, and it shriveled up and died. And within 8 minutes, this tumor went from that size right there to about that size right there. She could feel it leaving. She could feel it shriveling up and dying in her body. We prayed for a lady with cancer, same thing. It shrivels up and dies. Use that. Use that.
Yeah.
There's power in that one.
Next. This is a picture of day 7, our last day. This was a great night. These pictures over here, I don't know if you can see these. This is our view from the hotel. I just can't express to you how densely populated these cities are. It was
very destitute people in need of miracles.
Yeah. They need God. They need to know God's real, and they were really open to it. But we took this is public transportation up to a different community right up here, and we had an outreach in Sunday afternoon, and I don't know if you can see this, but the community was starting to gather here. We got there. It doesn't smell good. There's garbage around. There's people everywhere. But it's like, okay, we're going to do this. And anyway, the team brought speakers, started playing music. Some people started giving testimony, and the crowd was starting to gather. And then that's when you showed up.
We had a play, a skit, and did that in front of the people out there on the street. In Columbia, they have entertainment like we do, but it's more expensive and all that. They do plays, and they do street plays and stuff like that. So some of the ministers got together and did a play out in the middle of the street about Jesus and salvation and so on and so forth.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of that skit, they started pulling in the crowd, you know, come. And everybody started dancing. So we had another party. It was so fun. But what was kind of cool is I was up here, and I ended up just going into the crowd and just starting to minister in the crowd. And I was pulling people in. Other people were pulling people in. So we started getting the community coming. We started getting breakthrough in prayer. People were getting healed. We started rejoicing. It got louder. Got louder. God's so good.
They like to party in Columbia. It's a hoot.
Yeah.
This guy came down the stairs. He had a cane, and he had metal in his knee. And Ian and Celia prayed for him, and he could move his knee. I don't think he had been able to for about 6 years, and got rid of the cane.
Yeah. One of the nights I was ministering, you know, I'm kind of rookie at this, Pastor didn't warn me, but, you know, you often wonder, you know, is God going to work through me? Well, I was at one of the bigger churches, I think, the night before this, and I had a guy come in my line on crutches. And down there, everybody's on motorcycles, and they get in wrecks, and so they end up with lots of surgeries, and that's why you see so much of that. Well, this guy came in my line. He was on crutches. He was totally non-weight bearing, and I prayed, and he could step down, and I prayed, and then he could step on it and bear weight. And then I prayed, and he took a couple steps. And then I prayed, and he took more steps. And then I prayed again, and they took his crutches away, and he went walking. And, oh, yeah, it was awesome. And that was like, you know, it was so big. You know, all you do is just sit and rejoice. You know, just praise God, and you just scream. I did. Because, you know, God's so good. That was amazing. You know, that just a new experience for me. God moved, you know, just it was awesome. Yeah.
Testimony about lady whose eyes got healed.
Okay. Yep, it's going to work. Yeah. Testimonies are, yeah. Yeah, Lord. Go, Lord. Go, Lord.
This is the guy that Florence prayed for that I talked about earlier, where his ear opened up. And then we prayed for his eyes. He could see. And anyway.
Yeah.
Just it brought the faith up around him as well, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Columbia is on the other side of the world, so our pictures don't always. Anyway, this lady here came in.
Do you want me to stop?
She came in the building and she couldn't walk, and we put her in the wheelchair. She'd broken her foot. Ian had a word of knowledge for her, and he prayed for her corporately. In other words, he didn't put hands on her, and she could feel the bones suturing and heal. And then I got to come up to her and prayed for her, and the swelling went down in her feet, and she could wiggle her toes, which she couldn't do when she walked in. And then I asked her if she had metal in her body, and she said yes. And so I prayed again for her, and she started to weep when I asked her that. And then I asked, could you feel it before I prayed? And she said, yes. I said, can you feel it now? And she said, no. And so, you know, if you got metal in your body, you know it. And you can feel it. And so, I mean, this is just another miracle where God just, you know, goes in and just wrecks the place, does whatever he wants, and it's a hoot to watch. This guy got healed of kidney stones. Sometimes there's unforgiveness, and when you minister, you pray for somebody, maybe they don't get healed, but you try to delve into why, and that's part of the skill. So one of the things that we forget to do often enough is forgive ourselves, and he needed to forgive himself for something. His pain was at a level of an 8. He forgave himself, and we prayed again, and it went down to a 0. This fellow was prayed for. It took about 15 minutes. I think he'd fallen off a roof or some dang thing, but he was hurting really bad. And it probably about 15 minutes of prayer or something to get him back to where he was walking again.
This is a picture of when we were doing street witnessing. We were going to go to a park, but there was nobody at the park, so we ended up by a hospital, and we just unloaded and off we go. And I appreciate this day. I was on a different team than Pat, and as we went out, we went to a business and were ministering there, and then we turned, and as I turned, a guy had come up on a motorcycle and was parking, going to come into the business or something, but I felt the presence of God. And I even mentioned to my teammate, I said, this is going to be good. And we walked up to him and started talking to him. And one of our team members had one of these. It's called an Evange Cube. I got a picture off of Amazon. But he was skilled in using this. And this, you can lead somebody to salvation with this. It has the whole salvation story, who you are, why you need a Savior, who the Savior is, and what does it mean eternally. And anyway, he pointed out that kids can use this. It's a really good tool if you get training on how to do it. It was amazing. But that guy, when he got done with using that cube, this guy was Catholic. But when he got done, he had the biggest smile on his face, and he was so happy to find out the truth about Jesus, and he gave his life to Jesus right then. It was amazing. So I got one. I got to figure out how to use it, but I got one.
So who came in the building with pain in their body? Did any of you have it leave while you were sitting here? Right on. Right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Right on. We would like to pray for anybody that walked in here with pain or whatever you need.
Tumors.
We would be happy to pray. What's that?
Tumors, whatever.
Tumors, yes. Yeah. Anything and everything. We are very happy to pray for you. Want to, and we want you to know that you can do this too. So, anyway, if anybody's got pain or would like prayer, if you'd like to come up front, we'll pray for you right now.
Yeah, you know that. I just want to say on the last meeting, Sharon, y'all know Sharon, she came forward, we were praying for her, and Mariah, I was praying for her, and we were feeling the presence of God, but I have to tell you, Mariah came to me later, and she said, I don't can't explain this, but every time you were praying for Sharon, my back got hotter and hotter. And when you would quit praying, my back would cool off. And then you'd start praying again, my back would get hotter and hotter. I just want you to know, if you experience anything like that as we pray for people, you're connected to that, and you should come forward and pray for them too.
Yeah. We'll pray for gifts for you if that be the case. We had migraine disappear last service. We prayed for quite a few people. One lady got slayed in the spirit and got a healing, I believe. But anyway, please come up and we'd